Joining me now to talk about how lawmakers are responding to Trump's Iran strike and the retaliation by Iran is Lisa Desjardins, correspondent for PBS NewsHour. Thanks for coming on the show, Lisa.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I'm sure you've been hearing a lot from folks on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, following Iran's ballistic missile attack on two Iraqi bases that housed U.S. soldiers last night. Tell me about what the Democrats are telling you.
Democrats, I think the best way to categorize their reaction is that they're highly concerned. They're not sure what the president's strategy was before Iran retaliated, and they're not sure what it is now. I think one person to watch is Senator Dick Durbin. He's the number two Democrat in the U.S. Senate. And last night, while most lawmakers were tweeting out, we are praying for U.S. service members, we are monitoring the situation, he tweeted out that he thinks it is now the responsibility of Congress to decide whether to declare war, and that he wrote, "Stand up, colleagues." That's a call for the Senate specifically to vote to limit the president's war powers right now on this specific issue. It does not seem that the votes are there at this moment, but because there are so many questions about what the president's strategy is, Democrats are going to spend a lot of time today talking to Republicans, trying to convince them that it is time to open a formal debate on the Senate floor about the president's war powers.
I want to get into the Republican response in just a moment, but you mentioned Dick Durbin's call for his colleagues to step up. And I'm wondering, the House is expected to vote on a resolution that would rein in some of Trump's power to attack Iran without congressional approval. Where does that vote stand?
That's right. That vote is expected in the next 2 days in the House. That is expected to pass. You know, that resolution really just limits the president to military engagement with Iran. The idea is that it would stop a wider war with Iran. It would not affect potentially some of the more surgical strikes that the president has been doing, such as the strike on Soleimani itself, which was not on Iranian territory, but on Iraqi territory. Or at least it leaves open the possibility that the president could continue strikes like that, which remains an open question. Congress, since the Korean War, has had a real issue in flexing oversight of these kinds of military actions by presidents. And it remains to be seen if Congress really does anything new here to try and limit the president's powers. But the House will try to limit the president's ability to open a wider war with Iran. It's not clear what will happen to that resolution when it goes to the Senate.
What's the Republican response been to the Iran ballistic missile attack?
You know, it's varied. Some Republicans, including Lindsey Graham, who is also very important to watch because he's close to the president and he's a hawk when it comes to Iran, have said that Iran should be happy that there wasn't more damage, because if there is more damage, if there were U.S. lives confirmed to be taken, that then, in Lindsey Graham's words, then Iran would lose its entire oil industry, meaning a threat from the U.S. to take out Iran's oil and energy sector. So there are many Republicans saying if Iran continues this, if there are loss of American lives, that the U.S. will respond with even greater force. There are other Republicans who are saying simply, we want to know more about what's happening. We want to know more about the president's strategy, and we're going to let time kind of help us understand the situation. Someone in that category is Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate. He has said that members understandably have questions and concerns about what's happening, but he has asked them to wait until the president and his staff brief them, which is expected today. And he said, let's hold off on making judgments until we hear from the president.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is one of the few GOP senators who's criticized the Trump administration for killing Soleimani. Where does he stand on this?
Well, he is a longtime anti-interventionist, and he thinks that this is a huge mistake. Almost immediately after word came of the strike against Soleimani, Rand Paul was on Twitter and on Fox News telling the president, you ran as someone who said he would end perpetual war. This is a step toward perpetual war, which is really a striking thing for such an ally of the president to say. Rand Paul thinks this is a grave mistake. And it's a fascinating dynamic because Rand Paul golfs with the president just like Lindsey Graham does. And it almost as if those are the two voices on either side of the president. So one counseling complete restraint, the other counseling intervention. And right now it looks like that intervention voice is the one that the president hears more loudly.
There's been criticism of the intelligence that the White House claims it had before killing Soleimani. Has that been clarified at all? Have we learned more about the content of that intelligence so far?
No, that is the most important question, I think, right now, is the rationale and the evidence behind the president's original strike, the evidence that there was, in fact, a threat against American lives and American interests from Soleimani. We know yesterday that the Secretary of Defense told reporters that the threat was for something that would happen within days, or more likely days than weeks. And that was the first sort of definitive time frame we had heard in public from him. We know that the several members of Congress were briefed yesterday, including the so-called Gang of Eight, the top leaders in the House and Senate and on the intelligence committees. And you know, some of them came out of that briefing, and we'd heard from other members who were briefed as well, saying that they did not get specific information about exactly the nature of the threat, that they felt that they needed more. Some senators said that the information in the briefing was told them, they were told it was classified, they can't talk about it, but they also questioned whether it should be classified, that they felt it could be too vague to be classified. Essentially, there are many questions still about it, about that rationale and about the evidence that there was a threat.
Lisa, there are some parallels here to the run-up in Iraq in 2003. I think particularly when we look at the intelligence that led to the Iraq war. Are you seeing similar parallels in terms of the political strategy that's playing out?
You know, I think it's too soon to tell, but absolutely. That is the Iraq war is a huge shadow over this moment. And the fact that we know that the evidence that the Bush administration so strongly guaranteed the world they had, that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and was ready to use them, we know that evidence was based on completely faulty intelligence, and that in fact he did not have those weapons ready to deploy at the time. And at that point, you know, that was an argument that the Bush administration made on the floor of the United Nations. Here, we don't even know what the argument is exactly from President Trump, but I do think that's one reason that reporters, and I think to some degree Americans, want to know exactly what the evidence is. What can the administration share with us? This is a very serious step the administration has taken, and now Iran is engaging in a military way with our military, striking at Americans in an act of war. And we don't know exactly what precipitated this. So the Iraq war is hangs over this very heavily.
Outside of what's happening in the Middle East, here in the United States, the president is facing an impeachment trial. Where does that stand in the Senate?
We have nothing but questions for you from Washington today. Very few answers.
Okay.
Nancy Pelosi still has not transmitted the articles of impeachment or the names of the House managers who will handle the articles of impeachment to the Senate. She can do it at any time. And the trial will officially begin one day after she transmits those articles. That'll be a formal opening. Then they'll set a schedule so that we'll know when the arguments would happen. She is waiting because the Democrats believe they are gaining momentum in their calls for witnesses. You know, Democrats and Pelosi's staff really, and she herself, it seems, believe that Senator McConnell does not plan to run a fair trial, that they do want to have the Senate call witnesses such as John Bolton or Mick Mulvaney, who may know what exactly the president said and did. And right now, it's not clear that that will happen. McConnell says he's ready to start the trial with just basic opening statements, and he will leave it up to the Senate later on whether to call witnesses. So there's a real standoff over this question of witnesses. I think in the end, there could be the votes in the Senate to call some of these witnesses because there are at least four Republicans who seem interested in that idea and would vote with Democrats. But right now, Nancy Pelosi would like, it seems, further guarantees on that, or at least she wants to know how exactly McConnell would start this trial. I think in the next few days, By early next week, we'll have a better idea of when this is going to start.
Speaking of potential witnesses, John Bolton is one of those folks, and he is the former national security advisor. And he said he would testify if the Senate subpoenaed him. How consequential would that be?
You know, that has made a lot of headlines, but I may be in a minority. I don't think this is a change in position for him. I think what it is he's broadcasting his position more. He had said before that he would even testify before the House Intelligence Committee. He was open to that idea if he was subpoenaed. They did not subpoena him in the House. They felt that he, for some reason, they decided not to do that at that time. So I don't think this is a new position for him. It doesn't surprise me. But he clearly is someone who wants to testify, but only under subpoena. He feels that there are executive office issues. He's been told by the White House, as have most witnesses there, not to testify. And he feels a subpoena would allow him to do so.
Lisa Desjardins is a PBS NewsHour correspondent. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.